And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all having a great Wednesday or a great week, whenever y'all are tuning in, whether it's live or on demand. This is RBLR Bucks. My name is Carter Brantley, and I'm going to be one of your co-hosts this evening while we are talking some NFL Bucks, everything football related. We're going to be talking about it. It's me and my wonderful co-host, as usual, as always, Mr. Zach Blaine. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. How are you doing, man?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I had a birthday weekend, so that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Welcome back also from last week.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I missed the show, man. I missed being able to hop on and talk some ball with the fellas, as the kids say. We got a little bit of Bucks news to touch on before we get into our main segment, which is all-time ranking series cornerback edition. I know we've been touching on the offensive side of the ball pretty much exclusively. We are going to shift our focus to the other side of the football this week, and we're going to continue to do so. But before we do that, there was a little bit of Bucks news. Vita Vea is a sit-in. He is not participating in practice right now. He is seeking a new contract, a contract extension, whatever you want to call it. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little, unfortunately, it's kind of a downer because, you know, Vita Vea has been a big part of this Bucks team for, you know, a long time now. He entered as a Buck in the draft, first round pick, and he's really delivered on that draft pick for sure throughout his career. He's been outstanding, big part of that Super Bowl team. But, you know, the sun's kind of setting a little bit, perhaps. He's definitely not. He's a little bit longer in the tooth, and I don't know. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it. You know, what are your thoughts on him getting a new contract and long term? How much does Vita Vea factor into this Bucks team moving forward?
Yeah, disappointing to hear, because Vita Vea was always one of those guys that I was like, he just comes in and works. Like, I understand that at this point he's probably underpaid. Up to this point in his career,
right?
But at this point in his career, I feel like that's what he's worth. So it's a weird, like, kind of like a catch 22, because we could pay him what he kind of, for lack of a better term, is owed from being underpaid for so long. But also, like, if he wants top of the line, top of the dollar, or top of the league money, I don't see paying that, especially when we've got Baker Mayfield that needs a contract. You've got Chris Godwin is not guaranteed after this season. I think you got Diaby coming up. There's a lot of people coming up that I'd rather pay over Vita Vea. So I'm in a weird, like, I want him to be a Buck for the rest of his career, but also maybe we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an unfortunate part of the business. And in this case, it's a little different than Evans, because I feel like Mike was very much kind of welcomed back, whereas Vita Vea, this is kind of a trickier spot. Vita Vea has been an excellent, excellent defensive player, one of the best nose tackles in football, obviously. But, you know, it's a different situation. You know, it's a different.
Well, and let's be honest, no disrespect to Vita Vea by any means. He's not as much of a difference maker as Mike Evans was.
Sure, absolutely.
He's not as much of a difference maker as Lavonta David was. I feel like D tackles is one of those positions that would be relatively easy to replace. So yeah. I'm struggling. Like, it feels weird, but like trying to see from the GM standpoint, if you could easily replace that position and now he wants to hold in, sit in, whatever you want to call it. Maybe we, at this point, hell, see if we can get out of him, kind of a deal.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough proposition, because, you know, this late into the off season, you know, if you're going to try to trade him, other teams have to kind of navigate the salary cap with him. You're also trading him for a draft pick next season. So he's not going to help you this season, and whatever you're trading for isn't going to help you this season either. So it's kind of tough. I don't know what I would do if I was Jason Light. It's a tough spot to be in for sure. Not envious at all, because like you said, he's been underpaid for a while, but he's now it's one of those awkward timing situations where now that his contract is about to expire, he's probably not worth as much as he probably has been in the past. But
exactly. And it's the writing's kind of been on the wall, if we're being honest here, because normally we carry, what, five D tackles or D linemen into the season, and we brought in like four this offseason, not counting the ones that were already here. We haven't restructured Vea's deal in the last 2 years. So it's almost like we kind of, at least the front office was like, well, we're just going to play this contract out and let it be done.
Yeah.
Now, I could be way wrong. In a week and a half, we could see that he's got a brand new contract worth $25 million a year. I hope not, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, and it's hard because I definitely don't think he's worth that much. But at the same time, it would be cool to, like you said, see him be a career Buck.
Exactly.
So
I would love to
keep him around, even if it maybe hurts a little bit, you know, to pay him. He's definitely been such a leader in the locker room, and he's got, you know, he's commanded the respect of you know, the coaches and opposing players and all this stuff, and seems like a good dude. You know, it would be tough to see him go for sure. So I'm not opposed at all to bringing him back, but like you said, it has to be at the right price. I don't know if the right price is out there anymore.
If he goes, your boy K-Park gets more playing time.
That's true. That's true. I don't know though. You know, I love me some Demonte, and I think he's going to be a great player, but man, at the expense of Vita Vea in a Bucks uniform, oh, that's a tough trade off. But I do feel you though. I do feel you. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see if the Bucks and Vea can reach an agreement. I think that's more likely than not going to be the case. You know, Light hates to see guys leave, and Vea seems pretty happy here. Like, he hasn't expressed any disinterest before. So I'd be surprised to see him out the door, but at the same time, it's a business, you know, business is business and all that stuff. So we'll see. I don't know if we're going to have any news anytime soon, but hopefully it's good news regarding Vita Vea. Hopefully we're not having to do a look back on Vita Vea's career as a Buck. That would be kind of depressing to lose him, Lavonte David, and Mike Evans all in the same offseason. But regardless, we will see. And we are moving on because I think we've milked as much as we can out of the Vita Vea sit-in story. We got to get to the all-time ranking series of cornerbacks because I'm pretty excited. This is one of the harder positions in my mind to rank, so to speak. I tried to incorporate a lot of historical and kind of narrative ball kind of things, just because with cornerbacks, the numbers just aren't really as clear cut as a lot of other positions. Like some of these guys that we'll get to don't have whopping interception totals. Some of them do, don't get me wrong. But it's tough because, you know, if you're not getting the ball thrown your way as a cornerback, then you did your job. You know what I mean? Like, you probably did your job. So it's really just, it can be very difficult to discuss this position even in a historic context, but we're going to do our best. And I think we've got some pretty cool lists here. A little bit of, you know, a little bit of a different list, each of us, but also a lot of similarities. I think we ended up agreeing on a lot of players.
Yeah.
I think our top three is actually unanimous, but we'll get to them. I wanted to start at the bottom, like we have been doing, kind of working our way bottom up. Number 10, I've got Mel Blount. Thank you, Mr. Blount. Yes. 57 picks, two-time first team all pro, played on the Steel Curtain, four rings. I try with a lot of these lists, I try to do them once and then leave them. Like, I try not, because I can change my mind. You know, I wake up on any given day and I could move Mel Blount up to number six, as high as that, or number five. So I snuck him in at number 10, definitely deserving to be on this list. There were a few guys that just missed my list that I think we'll get to in your list potentially. Anus Williams was really, really good, and he just missed mine. Mel Renfro as well just missed. But, you know, I really love Mel Blount. He was a big part of those championship teams in Pittsburgh. I know people think of Lynn Swann and Terry Bradshaw, but it's really that Steel Curtain defense that led them to those Super Bowl championships. And Mel Blount, man, he was a big part of it. So he's at number 10 on my list. Who'd you have at number 10 on your list?
At number 10, I had Darryl Green. How do you say that? The Washington former Redskins team.
The football team in Washington. There you
go. Football team in Washington. There we go. He played 20 seasons, which is absolutely insane, especially at the cornerback position, and really kind of played well in all 20 of those seasons. The last, I want to say, the last two seasons were he didn't start all the games, but he played in all the games. Voted 7 Pro Bowls, first team All Pro, Hall of Famer. He does have 2 Super Bowl championships and 54 career interceptions. It's hard to talk about corners in terms of like you said, stats, because they're not going to have the highest tackles. They're not going to have the highest interceptions, but I mean, he played a shutdown corner for many, many years. I played as a shutdown corner for many, many years. In all reality, I think he's one of the best corners that no one really talks about.
Yeah.
So that's where I've got him. Also, I mean, 6 touchdowns in 20 years at corner. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's fun to read back on even though that, like you said, the stats can be tough to really decipher because you're really just looking at interceptions, pass breakups, especially. You know, they didn't have the PFF or the Sumer Sports, you know, yards per coverage snap or, you know, passer rating allowed when target, like they didn't have any of that stuff, you know, exactly. So we're not looking at these guys. And it's a tough position to really look back on. But Daryl Green, man, he just missed my list for sure. Definitely that extended career to play that long, he had to be doing something right.
And that was the most impressive thing for me, like to see a corner play 20 years. He played from the 83 season to the 2002 season. Like that's we're talking Tom Brady season. That's wild on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Yeah, he's a crazy guy, longevity king for sure. Number 9 for me, I went with Mike Haynes. He played for the Patriots and the Raiders. He was a Super Bowl champ. He also had two first team All-Pro selections, 46 picks. Really, really impressive stuff. But he was also 6-time second team All-Pro. Like, that's kind of the type of player that he was. He was on the 75th anniversary all-time team, 100th anniversary. His prime was really split between both the Patriots and the Raiders. There wasn't really much of a drop-off in terms of production for both teams. But, man, he was really impressive back in the day. So, Mike Haynes, shout out to him. Who did you have at number 9, Mr. Blaine?
At number 9, I had Mel Renfro. Another guy, 2 Super Bowls, first team All Pro once, 10 Pro Bowls, 52 interceptions. But again, when you play on 2 Super Bowl championship teams, now I will say I docked him down a little bit. I think he could be higher or he could be off the list. Like he's one of those guys that when I think of corners, as someone who like grew up playing corner, he was one of the guys that I like to watch. But also back in the 60s. They were throwing the ball
a lot less, sure.
35% of the time. Like, I want to say it was – they were running the ball 60 to 65% of the time. So, like, your numbers as a corner back then don't – you're more so playing a linebacker, if that makes sense. Like, without being disrespectful to Mel Renfro, because he's a Hall of Famer, or should be a Hall of Famer at least. Or, no, he is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I just the Dallas always has had a solid group of corners in the past. Recently, not so much, but in the past, and he's one of the better ones in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to look back on his career. Like you said, playing almost his entire career with Dallas, which was really really cool.
His whole career was with Dallas. Yeah, 64 to 77.
Yeah, and playing under that Landry system, you know, he was a big part of why those defenses were so good back then and why they won all the time. Like, he was kind of part of that foundation of the Cowboys being America's team, you know. So, Mel Renfro, man, he just missed my list for sure. And now we're going to get into, I think, where we kind of have this interesting layout for our list. Like, 10 and 9, we disagreed a little bit, but 8 through 6, we're kind of in lockstep, a little bit shifting in the order. And then 5-4, we disagree a little bit. And then 1-3, we're back in lockstep for the most part. So,
and now I will say you brought that up and I think 6 through 8 was the hardest grouping for me.
Yeah. It's really any order.
I was going to say you could put any 3 of these guys that we're going to say next in any one of these spots. and I'd be like, yep, I see it.
Yeah, I had – so we'll just go through them. Like, we'll just kind of group these three guys together, six, seven, eight. At eight, I had Richard Sherman, seven, Champ Bailey, six, Darrell Revis. Personally, Champ Bailey, for me, is my favorite cornerback ever. Like, I used to play NFL Street all the time, and he would be – like, whenever Champ Bailey would pop up, man, I'd have to pick him because Champ Bailey was that dude. He was the man. He played for Washington and Denver. And he was elite in both spots. I mean, he was just fantastic. Like, you think of the best. He was probably, like, it's him and another guy we'll mention a little bit later on in this list. But him and the other guy were kind of battling it out for kind of CB1, if you will, in the early 2000s. And Champ Bailey had a real case for a few years there. I don't know if he ever quite cracked that, but man, he was such a fun player to watch, man. So Champ at number seven for me, and Richard Sherman at number eight. I mean, part of the Legion of Boom. Like, he's an iconic player, like, just kind of locking down a whole side of the field, definitely more of that zone cornerback type of archetype. And, you know, people think of him in Seattle, and rightfully so. Like, that's where he was the most successful, snatching the chain from Michael Crabtree and all that stuff. But he very much had a solid few years in San Francisco as well. Like, he went on to San Francisco and was very good there as well. Obviously, again, not quite as good as the Legion of Boom days, but he also wasn't playing with Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. So, you know, you'll forgive him.
He came over here and won a Super Bowl with the Bucks too.
Yeah, right. There you go. So, yeah, Richard Sherman.
But still.
Right. Richard Sherman, man. He was like he was that guy. He would just lock down an entire – like I said, an entire half the field was just – untouchable. And then number six was Darrell Revis for me. Revis Island, man. There's really nothing else you can say. But what were your thoughts on these three guys? Because you kind of had them a little bit different. You had
I also had Richard Sherman at eight. Yeah. I flip-flopped Darrell Revis and Champ Bailey. I thought Champ Bailey was more impactful. Let me rephrase that. Not necessarily more impactful, but he did more scoring for me, as far as he had one extra touchdown. He had, almost 30 more interceptions. So he turned the ball over more, and I appreciate that out of a corner, because, like, realistically, as much as we say you can't look at the stats, like, because it's not as impressive as a running back who has 30,000 yards rushing.
Right,
like,
sure.
But you're turning the ball over. That means you're giving your offense another shot. So 52 interceptions, four touchdowns to Revis's 29 and three. That was the only difference for me in those two. I do think that Revis, I mean, I even wrote him down on our list as Revis Island.
Right.
Like, you don't get a nickname like that by not being one of the best zone corners ever. And then Richard Sherman, I mean, Legion of Boom. That's all you got to say. How many other times have you seen a defensive back group where it was him, Cam Chancellor, who was the other
Earl
one?
Earl Thomas.
Say it again.
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas, yeah. And then their other corner was
he's always the forgotten guy. He's kind of the
– Browner? I don't remember. Like, you don't get defensive backs that get nicknames like that anymore.
Right.
So for a defense to get the nickname, granted, I'll throw in Bobby Wagner was probably included in that. But that was one of the most memorable defenses I've been around for. And I think Richard Sherman was the best player out of the defensive backs.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Like, he was the leader of that group. It was really impressive to watch them go to work and do their thing. And they made some pretty darn good teams look pretty darn average.
And let's not leave out the fact that he's one of the best shit talking corners around.
Yeah,
like, he was an instigator, a shit talker. I loved it, dude. I hated the Seahawks, but he was always one of my favorite players.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's one of those dudes for sure that you always had to, like I said, just shut down an entire half of the field. So you kind of had to watch where he was going. And so Richard Sherman, man, number eight, and Revis and Bailey, like you said, you could kind of go either way. There's not really a wrong answer there because they were both just so dominant. And for all the reasons that you said about Darrell Revis, I mean, they're my favorite thing with Revis is they would show, I think it was some graphic where, like, it was the past 5 weeks where Revis faced like Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson and like all these elite wide receivers, like some of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And those guys had stinkers, you know, like they looked awful against Darrelle Revis. And it's crazy. Like Darrelle Revis in his prime might be the best cornerback ever, but his prime was a little bit shorter.
It was a short prime. That's the only negative thing about Revis. In my like humble opinion, had a longer prime, I think he's up there 1, 2, or 3 because his prime, I would fully agree with you. I think Revis's prime was one of the most dominant at the corner position ever in the sport.
Yeah, and he even ended up in a Bucs uniform, you know, like his sixth season. And after that, man, it was tough sledding for him. You know, like
he got comeback player of the year votes when he played in Tampa.
Yeah, because he had that tough injury So you know, it's not just because Darrelle Revis was, you know, lazy or he got paid and then, no, not at all. Like it was very much aspects of stuff that was out of his control. But he was still that guy. His prime was absolutely crazy. And he's cool to talk about. At number 5, you had a really cool pick. I want to give you the floor to give him some shout outs because he just narrowly missed my list, but you had him all the way up at number 5 and I think deservedly so. Like I'm glad one of us got him on this list. So who was your cornerback?
My number 5 was Aeneas Williams. 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team All Pro. Another guy who played from 91 to 04. Like these guys are playing such long careers, 55 interceptions. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I don't think I could name another Cardinals cornerback over the last.
Patrick Peterson was pretty good.
Okay, I'll give you that. So one, I can name one. And outside of that, I can't. So like,
for him
to be as good as he was, and granted, he played with some good players. He's one of the only corners on my list that didn't win a Super Bowl, but kind of hard to win a Super Bowl if you don't have a team around you. And I think Aeneas Williams was the team in Arizona. Like he was the team on the defensive side anyway. I probably could have put him lower, but he was a stud, man. That's really all there is to it. 807 interception return yards with 9 touchdowns. Like that's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, he's that guy. Yeah, I mean, he's even a guy that's on he was on the Rams towards the tail end of his career. And it's cool stuff, man. He was that guy for sure. And he was a really tremendous cornerback, 55 interceptions on, I think you might've mentioned that, but he also returned 9 of those all the way to the house, which is kind of cool. My number 5 guy is Willie Brown. He made a first team All Pro team 5 times, but he was in that era where he came in and it was the AFL. And then as he grew older, he transitioned to the NFL, you know, the merger, and he was just as good. Like it was not a step back at all. He was part of the John Madden Raiders team that won the Super Bowl. And he was just a really fantastic cornerback. Really not much else to say. Like he was a big reason why that team was so good. And Willie Brown, he was the guy. So we're out of the top. We're out of the bottom 5 now. We're entering this top 4 region, which we'll get into number 4 real quick because I think we've got a difference of perspective. I went with Night Train Lane. He was a legend, man. He played in the 50s and the 60s mostly for the Cardinals and the Lions. But he had 68 interceptions, which is 2nd amongst cornerbacks, and he was doing that in an era where they didn't really pass the ball, you know? So I thought that was really impressive for me. That was like a kind of a eye popping type of thing. Like, oh my gosh, he has almost 70 interceptions.
I struggled with these older guys.
Yeah.
Brown's not on there. That's why Mel Renfro could be higher on a lot of people's list. And I almost didn't put him on there. I honest to God put him on there, 'cause I was like, I gotta have another older player on there. I just struggle with when you're playing corner on a defense where you're facing the run between 60 and 70% of the time, it's like the interception numbers are good, but could quarterbacks really throw the ball good back then if we're running the ball 70% of the time? You know what I'm saying? So
I
struggled with it. Looking back, I would probably take off Mel Renfro and put Night Train up there because he is – you think of old school players. One, Night Train Lane, badass name.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a nickname, but still. I would probably put him at 9 on my list. I'd bump Renfro off. He's the one that I regret not putting on there. I will fully agree with you on that one.
Yeah, it was tough because, like you said, you have to kind of factor in for the competition level. But at the same time, we even talked about this in the running back series with Jim Brown, trying to balance that idea of like, well, they played back in the day. But at the same time, you got to respect the legends. And like, if we're doing that, then you just fill every list with just modern players. You know what I mean? So it's hard to strike that balance for sure. But I just Night Train Lane, that the name was really cool. And the fact that he had just that eye popping number is really, really crazy. And I don't know. And he just played like I had to get some really historic guys on my list a little bit, because it's cool to talk about like the really old days of the NFL. And I will say, man, like he was literally a 7-time first team All Pro guy. He was the best cornerback in football for a very long time, and that's not a position that you see like that kind of longevity from very much, other than these guys that we're about to touch on in the top three, which, you know, they're exceptions obviously to a lot of rules. But who did you have at number 4, Mr. Blaine?
At number 4, I actually went with Mel Blunt. I know you had him a little bit further down on your list. I couldn't, with good conscience, put a 4-time Super Bowl winner that low on my list. 57 interceptions, 736 interception return yards. He only had 2 touchdowns, so that did bring it down a little bit more for me. But everything you had touched on, like, he was a huge part of the Steel Curtain. We talked about the Legion of Boom. Anytime your defense has a nickname like that or has a moniker, I think that everyone on that defense deserves more recognition. Mel Blunt, a Hall of Fame player. Like, there's just shut down corner. He's probably like where I start. That time frame is where I start kind of looking at corners and going, yep, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Like, this is a more pass heavy, not as crazy as it is today. And that's honestly, that's why there's not a single current active corner on my list, because it's so pass heavy that the numbers are so inflated. But Mel Blunt is about my cutoff, where I was like, yeah, this is like, you're not necessarily facing 70% run. But I think he
I think he definitely crosses that threshold into being a little bit more of a modern game, like you said.
Yeah.
Less of that, like, you know, wing T, or which, don't get me wrong, man. Some of the older stuff, like the option offenses and all that stuff, is actually really cool. Like,
I love watching it. And right, like, I could go back and watch old games like that all day.
Yeah, it's cool.
The level of play, I think, on the defensive side favored linebackers and DNs more than it favors a corner or a safety.
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's definitely a very different game. And I'll be curious, like, kind of shifting focus here, I guess, a little bit. But before we get into our top three, are there any guys that you can think of that are active right now that maybe could crack this list at any point? I mean, Patrick Surtain's really the only guy for me that really comes anywhere close. But even him, it's like he's got to be this good for like a few more years, because it's tough. But is there anyone else? Maybe Sauce Gardner, I guess. But even him, like, he's got that injury. And
I think the only one that's close, that, because I'll be honest, I contemplated putting Pat Surtain up here.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Just because, like, oh, you know, let's have an active player in there. Sure. Every other list has had at least one active / recently retired player on the list.
Right.
Pat Surtain, I do think that Christian Gonzalez can get there.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Real young. It's stupid early.
Of course.
But if he plays like he did last season for an extended period of time, I could see him being very, very good. I'm trying to think. Outside of that, I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one.
Yeah, it'll take a lot for me to be moved to put anyone other than those two. Sauce Gardner, I could see it if he comes back from his injury really strong.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who, like, God, definitely no one on Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I thought Patrick Peterson had a shot there because, man, he was super athletic and was really great for a few years, but he couldn't quite sustain it long enough.
Exactly. He suffered
injuries, age, all that stuff. I will say I'm surprised, not surprised, but I wanted to try to fit Rondae Barber onto my list to have a buck because, man, it's tough. I think we've gone through all these lists and I'm trying to think, I mean, I guess if you want to count Brady, but I don't really count Brady as a buck. I count him more as a Patriot or whatever you want to call him. But, Derek Brooks is going to make the linebacker list. So that's the good news. We'll talk about linebackers next week. So at least, I mean, a little sneak preview, no spoilers or anything, but Derek Brooks is going to make my linebacker list. So that's the good news. But man, I did want to find Rondae Barber a spot on here because he is like a Bucks legend and all that stuff. But I couldn't do it.
I have him top 20.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But and again, like you said, that's no disrespect to Barber.
Yeah,
like,
we're splitting hairs
here. Barber is the best corner to ever play in Tampa. Like, I'm not. Yeah,
and probably will be for a very, very long time.
Start with Tampa. Let me rephrase that because we do technically have two Tampa Bay corners on our list. Theoretically.
Theoretically, sure.
But, yeah, no, he will always be the best corner to play in Tampa. But he just it was hard for him because he played with so many great defensive players that he just
and he
got
shifted to safety at the end of his career, too.
Yeah. He just kind of got overlooked. And no, again, no disrespect to him because he was a Hall of Fame player. I've said it a lot.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So that, like, but he's wiping his tears with the money that he's made.
Money in the gold jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. With the gold jacket. Exactly. So he's doing just fine. Yeah, I wanted to find a spot for him though, because it would have been cool to have a buck on this list, but like you said, just couldn't quite find the space for Mr. Barber. But speaking of gold jackets, if you're looking to add to your wardrobe, maybe not a gold jacket, but something pretty close, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We don't have the Football Hall of Fame promo or the merch, but we do have Tampa Bay sports merch. And we've got you taken care of, man. We'll give you a promo code too, because it's the off season, man. It's a dull time, no football. So we'll give you a promo code. That's Cannon, CANNONS. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the show. But getting into the top three, man, this is where things get kind of fun. We get to talk about, the three best cornerbacks of all time. And I will say this was the easiest part of the list for me. I kind of came into this list kind of knowing, like, all right, this is where I'm going to start. I mixed up the order a little bit differently than yours, but not very much. It's sort of like that 6-8 range. We just switched around two players. And frankly, a lot of other people have the guy that you had at number one And a lot of people, it's like a 50-50, like, it's kind of the LeBron or Michael Jordan of football, I guess you could say. Exactly. So we'll just get into it. Number three, we both had Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson, man, he was the truth. Early 2000s, he was like, if Charles Woodson wasn't there, Champ Bailey would have been the best cornerback of those years. And he certainly had a case, but Charles Woodson was the man. He shifted to safety for his last 3 years of his career, but for the most part, I counted him as a cornerback. And, man, he was 65 interceptions and 11 returned for touchdowns and all the all pros that you can list. And he was just a really tremendous cornerback out there for Green Bay and the Raiders. Yeah, man, Charles Woodson. And then at number two, I had Deion Sanders. And then at number one, I had Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson's the pick leader among corners, but he did play in a different era. And Deion also has the special teams aspect of it. I don't know how much that factors into this list or how much you kind of factor that in, but I would totally understand if it did. And frankly, Deion Sanders was also like one of the best, he's 1A or 1B. So like you really can't go wrong with either one of them. I'd love to hear your take on Deion Sanders being your top cornerback though.
Yeah. I mean, obviously special teams played a role in mine, but sure. Let's not forget special teams. He was also playing offense for the first part of his career.
Right.
He was playing offense, defense, special teams,
playing baseball.
The dude had so much going on. I think that he is the biggest reason that I put him up there was honestly, because he had two Hall of Fame careers. He was great for the Falcons and great for the Cowboys. Yeah. I would put him two Hall of Fame careers. I know he went to towards the end of his career. He played for like two or three other teams, if I'm not mistaken. But the big ones are Atlanta and the Cowboys. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I put him as the best shutdown corner. Like, teams would just not throw his way.
Sure.
Which, not taking anything away from Rod Woodson, because he also was great. I actually have him at two and then Charles Woodson at three, like you mentioned. 71 interceptions is awesome. He only had 150 yards more on 20 more interceptions.
Right. The return yardage was insane for Deion.
Like, exactly. Just, now, he did have more touchdowns than Deion.
Right.
He had 12 return touchdowns, which is impressive in and of itself. But I just think Deion Sanders made playing corner cool. Whereas before that, it was, you know, it was a position, you're still in the NFL, but like, Deion Sanders made it his whole personality made it a fun vibe to play corner. Like, watching him growing up, watching him play, not maybe watching him growing up, but watching his highlights, he will be probably forever one of the best to ever do it. I don't think there will ever be anyone that passes, I would go and say, any of these top three ever.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement there, man. I think that the top three is locked in for a very long time, because even if Patrick Surtain manages to have a really tremendous career, which absolutely capable of, I don't know that he's going to be able to reach the heights of these three guys. Of course, never say never. You know, there's a lot of talent coming through college and all that stuff. So, you know, in 20 years from now, we could look back and think, oh, we were so foolish to be so arrogant. But at the same time, man, it's going to take some really miraculous stuff. And unfortunately, with the new rules changes and all that stuff, guys just can't defend the same way that they used to. And for better or for worse, that's a whole separate conversation. Regardless, it's very much, you know, a different ball game now. So it's just harder to crack those interception leaderboards. It's harder to really put that in context. And I don't know, man, like you said, Deion Sanders, man, he was the truth. Rod Woodson was also insane. Like, all three of these guys were just really, really crazy.
Another insight on, or another positive thing on Charles Woodson, super nice guy. I actually met him one time. I got a picture with him. The only thing I hated was he had a little chihuahua, which drove me crazy.
You can't hold that against a guy, you know.
When I was working down in Florida, I was doing wildlife removal, and there was some squirrels messing up his roof. And we went out there, super nice guy. Let me take a picture with him, talk to him for a little bit. It was super, super nice guy. I almost put him at one just for that.
Hey, I would have understood it, man. I let personal biases and feelings into it.
You have to, brother. Like, we're all.
Yeah, we are all absolutely human. So, that's going to do it though for us. Hope y'all stuck around and entertained yourselves by listening to us talk about cornerbacks, because, man, this was a fun position. If not an easy one to talk about in terms of stats and all that stuff, but definitely a fun one, because you kind of had to be a little crazy to play this spot. You know, you kind of have to have a weird confidence in that, you know, you're the only time. Not the only time, but most of the time, if your name is being called out, it's not a good thing. So it's a weird position, kind of like offensive linemen, where like, you get all the blame and no credit. But man, these guys were some of the best to ever do it. So hope you all enjoyed. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. We'll be back next week with some linebacker talk as well. Sticking on that defensive side of the ball. Really hope y'all, you know, enjoyed yourselves, because man, we enjoy talking about this, and we're going to keep having some fun in this off season. And we'll see y'all next week. And thanks to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Blaine, Mr. Producer Eureka Wheeler. But until next weekend, as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.